Because if you're wondering, there's three ways to lead. One is fear, and sometimes we do that without even knowing we're doing it. Sometimes it's not us, it's the environment that produces fear. Or it's not fearful for us, or we don't think it's fearful for anybody else because we've mastered a certain area of our life or we have control, right? So Jim has an environment where there is some fear. Sure, I'm sure there is. I bet there's some incentives. Do you have incentives to help your people, inspire them to do more?
Yes.
Yeah. So the incentives will be the second way. And incentives are great, but what's the limitation on incentives? What's the problem with incentives?
Short term.
That's right.
Just here today, gone tomorrow.
That's right. And there's only so much you can give, right? There's only so much profit. There's only so much there. And I'll tell you the worst thing. When you incentivize people continuously, after a while, they start thinking, what are you going to give me to do that?
Exactly.
And the worst part of that is not that they're asking, what are you going to give me to do that? Because whenever you're only doing things because someone's going to pay you to do it or kiss you to do it or love you to do it or you're doing it because you're going to get a reward, at some level you can't feel great about yourself because you know you're not giving. What you're doing is trading. You're horse trading. How many fall? Now, we all do this. We all have to do it in some aspect of our lives. But the only lasting form of leadership, the only lasting way to motivate people is growth and acknowledgement. Whenever somebody feels like they're growing and they can be acknowledged, they can acknowledge within themselves, that's a driving force that never ends. Because with that growth, every time we grow, there's more of us to be able to give something to somebody else. So every time we learn something, it's one of the reasons you're here probably, whether you know it or not, I want to learn this, and as I learn it, it'll make me feel certain, make me things work in my own life, but wow, I'm going to grow and now I'll have something I can give my kids or my family or my friends or my coworkers. Some of you already called people on the phone and work with them or my parents or whoever. That's the coolest feeling. That's a lasting feeling. And there's no feeling better than I've been doing it for a quarter of a century, and I can tell you, every day of my life, I get to see the gift of it. A dozen people coming up and telling me these unbelievable stories. I was in L.A. today, and I was sitting in this lobby of this hotel. It was a very small, intimate hotel, and I was there trying to have a business meeting with somebody, and I was interrupted five times. But it was a great thing for the business meeting. It was China Phillips came up, and Billy Baldwin, who I haven't seen in years. And Billy said, Tony, I'm sorry to interrupt you. He said, but I got to tell you, remember you worked on China like 8 years ago? She couldn't get on stage. He said, she's doing a concert for 5,000 people in Santa Monica Pier here in a few minutes. She's coming back. She's doing this whole thing. I just wanted you to know we thank you so much, right? And one after another, it came from those pieces. And where they came from is I never did it because China Phillips years ago. I couldn't see her. I couldn't do anything. So I got on the phone and I did it. And it comes back, and it comes back, and it comes back. It comes back because there's pride in what you've become and what you've given. There's excitement in what you get. There's pride in what you've given. And pride lasts, and excitement doesn't. Nothing wrong with excitement, but it can't be the driving force in your life. So what I want to show you first is, I'm listening for his driving force. What else am I listening for? His map. The way he's going to try to meet these needs. All six of them, but especially his certainty and significance. And we know a lot about his map. We know some of his global beliefs because I asked about a few of them. How much is a long time? How much is a short time is how we started. What's a relationship about? What's life about? By the way, when you ask those questions, are they interesting questions? Because as soon as I ask the question, sure enough, many other people in this room, you're going to start to engage. So people answer these questions. All you have to do is also listen. Because whatever people tell you about their life, they're telling you what their life is about right now. It's not hard to see, at least at this stage. So I'm listening for global beliefs. Second kind of part of their map I'm listening for, after I hear the global beliefs, I'm listening to hear their identity. Now, I could be wrong in my language here with Jim, but certainly part of Jim's identity is he is an achiever. Is that fair to say, Jim? And a leader, right? And he's a successful man. These are pieces that are very important to his identity. How many got that just listening and watching him, right? Now, that helps me to understand what's going to influence him and why he's going to listen to me about anything. If I can't show him how this, in a short period of time, the A to Z's of how to get the job done and produce some real measurable results, then anything I'm talking about is basically bolt to him. He's not going to be terribly interested. So to influence him, I now know how to communicate in a way that will influence him. Now me, I'm interested in all, there's a part of me that's like Jim. I have 13 companies, a foundation, so I understand. I understand that mode about time. I understand what it takes to achieve. So I can step into that world and I can go with Jim head to head, back and forth. He and I have a lot of fun together. We can learn from each other. There can be a real balance between he and I. There's some pitching and catching. I don't just have to pitch to Jim. I could catch with Jim. That's inviting as a relationship. That's inviting in a leadership mode because that means we can both lead each other, bring things down the line. How many follow this? And in that mode, by the way, as I've been talking about that, Jim is engaged even though we haven't said anything. If you watch Jim's face, am I right, Jim? Jim's going like this the whole time. I haven't said what we're going to do. All I've talked about is a relationship like that, and Jim's like this already, right? Because what I'm doing is I'm entering Jim's mode. I'm entering his world. I'm going to influence Jim by entering Jim's world. Now, part of what will help to influence that is I respect Jim. Anybody I'm listening to, I'm not just listening for their driving force and their map. I should tell you, I'm also listening for what I respect about them, because that builds a relationship, because you can't fake it. Sometimes it's hard to find when somebody's behaving in an interesting way, right? But I'll look for something that I can respect about them or I can like about them. Even if everything they're doing is despicable, I'll respect the intensity in which they're doing it. I will find that, because once I find that, there's a different relationship between Jim and I as I talk about him this way, that if I just said it with words but didn't feel it inside, he'd get that I'm just saying it with words. He'd get, he's saying this to try to manipulate me. So unless you have that connection with him at some level, so while I'm listening, I'm not just, I guess I should tell you, I'm not just trying to analyze Jim. I'm trying to understand Jim's world and appreciate it. Does that make sense? Not judge it. Put this down as a principle. You can't influence someone that you're judging. You're just not going to. You're not going to be able to influence somebody while you're judging them. You're not going to get through to them. When you care about them, when you feel for them, when you appreciate them, that's when you're going to be able to influence them. And I don't care if you're a telephone salesperson, you're listening on the phone, you're a leader. Your job is take that person who's calling you and find a way to lead them to something greater in their life that meets their needs. I don't care if you're a mom and your kid's coming up to you. Your job is try to figure out, how do I take this child where their needs are? But I'll tell you something. If you treat your son and your daughter the same way, or both your sons the same way, you're making a mistake because they're not the same people. And you're going to influence one really well. And you go, how come I can get through to my daughter so well? How come I get through to my son so well? But that daughter of mine, I can't get through it at all because you don't understand their world. This is traditional psychology or psychiatry or traditional leadership. It's an authoritarian piece where you look at somebody, you judge them, you label them, and then you drug them if you're a psychiatrist. I mean, isn't that what they do today? Look at you, label you, give you the label, what's your pathology, and then drug you, because it's better living through chemistry in most cases. That is inhumane. That is completely inhumane.